The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You know, this gospel passage where our Lord, or where our apostles cry out to our Lord, just sort of comes out of nowhere. But what is going on before we come to this part in chapter 17 doesn't follow to say that the disciples should make this sort of cry. And what comes after it doesn't follow it either. So why is it that the disciples are there crying out to our Lord in this moment saying, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. I think it's because of this. Because this is the cry of any disciple. Anyone who follows Christ should always be the cry, Lord, increase our faith. That's what we should all cry. Now, what our Lord does often, what does this mean for the disciples is that they're saying, look, Lord, we've been with you for a long time. You know, this is chapter 17. Only 24 chapters in all of Luke. That's where the resurrection happens in chapter 24. So they've been with him for a long time, and they're saying, Lord, we don't understand you. We actually don't get it. We don't really have strong faith in what you're going to do. We know you've called us to do some pretty amazing things. But how are we going to be able to accomplish it? We don't get it, and especially in moments, we know that our faith is going to be flagging and weak. Increase it, Lord, so we can really believe. You know, many other times in the gospel, our Lord says this to them, point blank. He calls them out on their faith and says to them many times, you of little faith, doesn't he? We can think of many opportunities. Remember when they're out there on the boat and the storm is coming in and they're in peril. Jesus is sleeping. And they say, Lord, do you not care that we're going to die? He turns to them and says, you of little faith, calms the storm and everything's all right. Remember that time when Peter was walking out there on the water and he begins to sink when he takes his eyes off Jesus. And what does he say to him? He says, you, Peter, of little faith, why did you doubt? So often, many, many times, he calls people out on their lack of faith. And so the disciples really are, what they're doing is they're recognizing that they don't have it. That they don't have it together, and they want to. They want to be the manly men, the soldiers of God, that our Lord has called each and every believer to be. But they don't have it yet. They have this moment of honesty and saying, Lord, we need your help. We need your help to be able to accomplish them. And this is what the real Christian disciple needs to see. To see that we don't have things together all the time. If we're honest, we'll admit that. That we need Christ's help constantly, and so constantly we need to be crying out just like the apostles did. Lord, increase our faith. But if we're going to ask him to increase our faith, we need to understand what faith is, right? What's faith? Does anybody know what faith is? We talk about it all the time, right? Especially when we're in a difficulty, you say, you just got to have faith. But what are you asking, what are you saying that we need to have? Belief. That's what I heard. Good. Finally somebody answers. That's great. Okay. Good. We need to have a belief. So it means that's something of the mind, right? Well, you know what? I have a lot of friends, and often they come up to me with a response saying that it's a truth of the mind, that the mind has a grasp. And so they say, Father, we recognize that you have faith, you're a man of faith, and we don't have faith. We don't believe in anything like this. We can't give ourselves to that. We see that it helps you be more cheerful most of the time. When you get through into a tough patch, you're able to get through it a lot better than we are, but you know, we just can't wrap our minds around this faith. A lot of my friends in college used to come up to me and tell me this all the time. We don't have faith. We can't wrap our minds around the thing. But if we think that faith is something that we have to wrap our minds around it, we fundamentally misunderstand what faith is. Faith isn't something that we wrap our minds around. It's actually something that we wrap our hearts around. It's not something that we grasp through with our mind, because what is it? When we can see what things are with our mind, that's not faith. That's sight, right? What faith is, faith is something which sees into the darkness and has a confidence that it's going to make it through, even though it can't see, even though it's not able to see what is going on. Faith frustrates and humiliates the intellect, the mind. Faith is something that is made not with the mind, but with the heart, with the will, because to believe is a choice, not just a thing of the facts. What do we know about faith in Hebrews chapter 11? Remember, that's the big faith chapter in the Scriptures. We know it well. What does verse 1 say? Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not yet seen. Because they are going to be seen, just they aren't seen yet. That's what faith is. Faith is this confident assurance that what has been promised is going to come to fruition, even though in this moment I can't make sense of anything. That's what faith is really all about. It picks up where reason can't see. And it takes that unknowing step with confidence because it believes beyond belief. What the facts do, and you know our whole life is gathering facts. What those facts do, they help us to bolster the faith, give us reasons to place our trust in God, but they don't take us the whole way. What faith does is it's actually trusting in the authority of another person, God. Trusting that God is going to take care of us no matter what is going to happen because of what? Because he's our Father. We trust our Father. We have faith in our Father because we know that he is going to take care of us no matter what. So we learn something about faith from this, and this is really important. Faith is less about facts than it is about familiarity. Familiarity has that word family in it, right? Familiarity, recognizing that we're a part of a family, God's family. That's why we can go forward in faith. Faith is less about facts than it is about familiarity. You know, when I was young, my granddad told me a story of a little girl. Her name was Sarah. And what this little girl, she was super cute, little five-year-old girl. She always used to wear a little tiara on top of her head. Super cute princess. That's a way to endear me to anybody. If a little girl wears a tiara, I'm already won over. But she, this little girl named Sarah, this five-year-old girl, used to play in this park. And all the older kids, what they like to do is they would like to climb these trees that were all over the place, but they wouldn't let Sarah do it. They said, no, you're too young, you're too little. You don't know how to do this. And so they wouldn't let her participate. So one day, what she did was she saw that they were all playing on this other part, and they said, well, I'm going to go ahead and climb this tree and show them that I'm a big girl, that I'm big enough and strong enough to be able to do this. So that's what she did. She little by little clawed her way up that tree and scaled it and made it to the top. And when she got up there, she said, well, now I'll just do what all the other little kids do. I'm going to show that I can do it. They just swing for a second, and they drop down. So that's what she did. She crawled over to the limb, and when she was getting ready to let herself swing, her hands began to clutch furiously to that branch. She saw how far she was above the ground and knew she was never going to get down. So she just clung there. Can you imagine the fright of a little five-year-old girl being so high off the ground? She cried, and she cried for help, somebody to come save her. Luckily, there was a policeman who was very close by, a big, strong guy. He came over and just stood beneath the limb and said, young girl, I'm here. You can trust me. I'll catch you. And she would not let go of that tree limb. She said, no, no, I'm too scared. So the little girl was in fright. The whole while, there was this old, gray-haired, frail woman who was sort of making her way over there. And what she did was she put her hand on this arm of that strong police officer and brushed him aside a little bit. She said, Sarah, you can let go. I will catch you. And with a little bit of protestation, Sarah finally just let go of that limb, fell into the arms, came crashing down into this woman's arms, set her down. This big, strong policeman didn't understand. He didn't get what was going on, so he said, hey, lady, no offense, but why did that little girl trust you? You're not exactly big and strong like me. She almost crushed you. Why did she trust you? And the woman just sort of looked up, and her old lady voice just said to her, because I know her name. She's Sarah, and she's my granddaughter. You see, that little girl would not let go, even though there was a strong police officer there, because she didn't know him. If this trust, if this belief, as you said, is all about facts, you want to trust the guy with big, strong arms, not the little woman. But you see, the difference was that there was a relationship, a family relationship, a familiarity. And that's what allowed her to let go of that tree limb and to fall gracefully to safety. That's what faith is, brothers and sisters. It's not about facts. It's about familiarity. It's about trust. It's about having a family relationship. That's what faith is. And the greatest thing about it is that we're part of God's family. That's what faith allows us to do. And we all have moments like that, right? Where we feel like we're the ones who are clutching to that tree. That we don't know what's going on, that we can't trust that anything is going to take care of us. That we can't see anymore, that there are times where we really need faith. But that's what the first reading talks about, right? The first reading from Habakkuk speaks very clearly of this situation. Because all that Habakkuk could see is evil people getting taken care of, and the righteous are being destroyed. So he exclaims, Lord, how long? How long will I cry for help and you don't listen? I cry out to you, but violence, and you do not intervene. Why do you see my ruin? Why must I look at misery and destruction and violence? You're the things that are all before me. Why is this what I'm exposed to? And how does our Lord reply? It's in your books. You can read it. God replies to him and gives him a very clear answer, saying to remain steadfast and at peace and at calm, because the evil will get their just deserts, and he will take care of the righteous. He says in the very last line of that reading, he says, the just one will live because of his faithfulness. The just one's going to live because he has faith and remains faithful. You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, they all say the exact same thing, echoing this constant theme of Christianity, of faith in God. What does it say? It says that the righteous person will live by faith. And that's what we're supposed to do, right, as Christian disciples, is to live by faith. Well, what does it mean? To live by faith, what is that all about? Well, I think it's something really simple to understand, even though it's hard to live out. Because living by faith is just doing what the apostles were doing in the gospel. Apostles recognized that they didn't have faith. They recognized that they were weak, that they didn't have control over everything, that they didn't know how things were going to turn out, and so they called out to God, right? Faith doesn't just remain in the fact that we don't know what's going on. It calls out. It says, Lord, increase my faith. Grow within me that faith. Faith, really what it says, okay, let's settle down for a second. Let's see the reality, have some patience. I have a Father. I have a Father who keeps his promises, and he says that he's not going to leave me. He's not going to make me an orphan. He won't forsake me, and I don't see how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work out. But if I wait long enough, I know that my Father's always going to show up. I know that one that I'm going to trust is always going to be there waiting for me, and he's going to rescue me. See, that's what faith does. Faith doesn't always know the answer or the way, but it trusts. Really what faith does is it compels us to cry out, just like those apostles do in the midst of our misery and difficulty, Lord, increase my faith. We need this in the bad times, but we need it in the good times too, because when we're in the good times, we know that the bad times are going to come eventually. So our faith has to be strong, that our first moment can be that confident trust in Christ, to trust in him because he is our Father. Faith is a refusing to believe that we're abandoned, that we're left alone, because God our Father has never abandoned anybody who has called on his name. Scripture says one. We talk about it all the time at our funeral masses. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by confident trust in God, not by what our eyes and our senses tells us. Because we know that we have a Father who keeps his promises. So when we're faced with the sorrow of death, we cry out, Lord, increase my faith. When we are faced with the sorrow of sinfulness in our life, we want to do better. And so we say, Lord, increase my faith so that I can trust in you. When we have the sorrow of addictions in our lives, or maybe in the lives of those who we love, say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to free them, but Lord, increase my faith. When we have the sorrow of disappointments which come time and time again in our lives, say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. Increase my faith. We have a loss of relationship, that sorrow that comes from that. Say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to be able to make it. I feel alone. Increase my faith, because I don't know that you're not going to leave me. So whatever human sorrow experience that we can have within our lives, what faith does, it allows us to call out to him and realize that God isn't going to abandon us. That's what faith allows us to do. Now conclude with an Easter hymn. One we sing all the time at Easter. Beautiful, but it brings home this message of crying out to God in faith. What it says is, Alleluia, not as orphans are we left in sorrow now. Alleluia, he is near us. Faith believes and doesn't question how. Though the cloud of sight received him at the ascension, when the 40 days were o'er, shall our hearts forget his promise? You are with me evermore. Brothers and sisters, if you have faith, you're not abandoned. Those who have faith know that they have a Father who keeps their promises. And the Christian lives by faith, calling out from his heart at every moment of his life, just like the apostles did. Just like we will if we have flagging faith before the Eucharist today. Lord, increase my faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.